This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, welcome to this week's business radio show. Remember, this is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is show number 374. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. It's also provided by Staples and their Advantage program. They know how important it is for you to market your business to acquire and retain customers. Well, on today's show, we're going to talk about the truth, not the kind of truth that comes out of the presidential candidate's mouth every day. We're going to talk about the truth-telling that should be going on inside your company. New advice on how telling the truth in small business can get you ahead. Plus, one of the biggest issues as a small business grows is how they pay the salespeople in any small business. And there's always complaints no matter what they do. The salespeople say they get paid too little or it's not fair. Others in organizations say that salespeople are totally overpaid. So what's the right way to do it? We're going to talk about a fresh approach coming up. Also, politics is a hot topic this year with the presidential race taking center stage of so many conversations. But what about the politics that are at work right now inside your company? How do you navigate those? But first, there's so many business-to-business sales to other companies that get bogged down. I remember I used to go into a company, have a series of really productive meetings, and then send the proposal, and then they got bogged down in a series of delays and stalls. And the thing would never close. The strange thing is that I didn't lose to a competitor. I lost to the company doing nothing. Well, my first guest has a new secret weapon that can increase your close rate to a stunning 70%. Tim Sanders is the former Yahoo Chief Solutions Officer and author of four books, including one of my favorites, Love is the Killer App. Tim, welcome to the show.
Barry, I'm glad to be with you.
I have to tell you, when I moved, I was only allowed to take five physical books with me to my new smaller apartment, and one of them was Love is the Killer App. I just want to let you know.
Wow, thank you.
So the new book is called Deal Storming, the secret weapon that can solve your toughest sales challenges. It seems like the sales environment is getting tougher. Is that true, or is that just something that every generation of salespeople says?
Well, it gets tougher each and every day. When I started out in sales, if you were to compare it to a video game, it was like Pong, right? Hand-eye, market coordination, a little bit of time, stack of quarters, you figured it out. Today, it's like Halo. And the reason why, Barry, is because for B2B purchases, according to Corporate Executive Board, there's now over five decision makers on every purchase.
Wow.
So there's the end user, there's the finance influencer, there's the technology influencer, because everything's got a technology piece. There's sometimes an information security influencer. And then there's just a person at the company that thinks they know something about this product. And all of them must be convinced. And the problem is they all have different agendas. And the second reason it's complicated is people do their own research before they bring in sales, so they think they know what they're talking about.
Now, is that a good thing that there's more decision makers? Because it seems to me that the departments aren't so siloed anymore.
Well, it's interesting. The buyers have teamed up. They're just a little bit dysfunctional. They all have multiple agendas. So there's a bliss point of where there's too much in the mix. I call it the power of four. And, you know, Corporate Executive Board says 5.4 is the average, which means there's 1.4 too many agendas in the mix, and it turns into a goat rodeo. So for us as sellers, we have to figure out how to get everybody on the buying team to go from me to we. And that requires sales innovation, really creative ideas, and involving more than just the sales silo.
So where do you start, Tim?
Well, I think that when you get stuck in a sale, you have to ask yourself, in my company, or as a partner to our company, who has a stake in the outcome? Those are your blockers and tacklers when you put together this collaboration team. I call them deal stormers. And then you ask, who has some expertise about my problem? For small businesses, for example, that might be a competimate, somebody that does what you do in a different part of the country that has some expertise about why you're stuck. And that's where you start, and you build the team. Don't make it too big, but you build the team around the opportunity, and you focus them each and every meeting on the next best play, just like how Coach K coaches Duke.
You know, this is so interesting because I think for a long time, sales was really seen as a solo sport. I remember that scene in Jerry Maguire where he comes back to Dorothy Boyd and he says, well, I used to go in the living room alone. I was the closer. But that's not the way it is anymore, you're saying.
No, it's not. The art of the deal has given way to the science of the sale. Of the over five decision makers we have to convince, we're never going to see a couple of them face-to-face. We're never going to get a couple of them on the phone. We're going to have to come up with something that sells on our behalf or recruit an inside champion and coach them. That's why a lot of these closing academies and closing skills training programs, they're bad, Barry, because they cause us to squeeze a person that cannot decide by herself, which hurts our brand and makes it harder later for us to get time with.
So how do you set up in the company so there really are these deal-storming teams? Because I think for a long time, in fact, the salespeople are in competition with each other. And also there's an internal message that goes on, Tim, that says, well, we're paying you so much commission, you should be able to do this by yourself.
Oh, very, very good point. So, you know, in a sales world, we eat what we kill. We don't want to risk our commission on the land of no, you know, meaning bringing in other departments. But here's what I've learned, and I've done 100 of these deal storms over 15 years. When sales goes out to other departments like marketing, operations, finance, or reaches out to their supply chain, it's not about the money. They're not saying, oh, we're working on a $1 million deal. It's about something bigger. It's the why. If we don't win this deal, you say, this rival that we all want to beat is going to win this deal. If we don't save this account, you say, our reputation is mud in the market. If you elevate the why beyond the money, people are going to want to help you. But here's the other thing, Barry, what I've learned is that there's an old saying in corporate America that goes like this. If you're not at the table, you're probably on the menu.
That's right.
So marketing wants to be at the table at the beginning of a big deal process, okay? Finance, operations, the delivery team, your best partners in the market, they really want to be there and be heard and have a voice. You'd be surprised how few of them say, well, you're making the commission, you do the work. Those are people that are not your partners. Those are people that are not good employees at your company.
So, Tim, what does this look like as a salesperson when I identify a key opportunity? I get everybody together in a room?
Well, yeah, very good point. So there's a seven-step process. You got to follow it. That's why I call it deal storming instead of brainstorming, okay? So the first thing you got to do is you got to organize the opportunity around how big the opportunity is strategically and how complicated it is. And when you build this team, remember, it's who has a stake in the outcome. That's your core team, your blockers and tacklers. You invite a few experts. But here's the trick. Days before you have that first meeting, you got to create what I call a deal brief. That helps everybody in the room in advance understand the problem, the opportunity, the influence map, and everything you've tried to date and what has worked and what has not worked. And then you give every member of your team a thinking assignment and some time to incubate ideas. That way, when they show up, they've already got a starting point and some clarity about the assumptions they have behind that idea. That's the secret sauce that drives real effective collaboration. Makes your meetings magic.
So this seems to me that, especially for B2B sales, you need a much higher level skilled salesperson that also brings things to the table that maybe the traditional salesperson didn't have.
Well, exactly. And I've been advising a lot of leaders at businesses from small to large to ask different questions in the interview and look for different things on the resume, okay? If you hire top producers, understand, research says 8 times out of 10, they were a product of the system and they will fail at your organization. So the numbers don't transfer. Here's a hack I've learned that a lot of big technology companies have been using to hire team builders and collaborators. Ask someone in the interview, in your last job, tell me about a project outside of sales that you volunteered for with your spare time. Tell me why you volunteered to help them and how it turned out. Barry, it's a trick question. It really doesn't matter what they volunteered for or how it turns out. What matters is they have the habit of volunteering. Because here's what I've learned. Great collaborators, they do favors far in advance of needing favors back. So when I went to Yahoo, for example, I never ate with sales. Every time I went to lunch, I sat with a new group. I heard their complaints about sales. I looked for opportunities to do favors, and I built bridges. And then later, when I had to create my first deal storm team to save the form account, I had engineers, finance analysts, marketing leads all rush to help me. So look for people that are good volunteers, good at helping across the lines, and you'll find salespeople who will later be great at building teams and collaborating.
So, Tim, with the last question I have, it's about 30 seconds. So with the different approach to sales, does this mean that we should be paying salespeople differently?
No. I think nothing changes in terms of compensation, although I think that when we look at the annual review, at least 25% of it should be how good are you at cross-department or cross-market collaboration. Because if you get people to do this, they become better leaders in your organization. And I think you can use this deal-storming technique as your ultimate bench strength opportunity.
Tim, thanks for being on the show. The title of the book is called Deal Storm, the Secret Weapon That Can Solve Your Toughest Sales Challenges. You can reach Tim at www.timsanders.com. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
Coming up next, is honesty the best policy when it comes to work? The answer coming up is AM 560, The Answer.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBangis with a look at your roadways. Eden's in and out, 19 minutes between Laycook Road and the junction on the Kennedy into and out of the airport, holding steady at 20 minutes. Those express lanes are closed until 10 a.m. No delays, thankfully, on the Eisenhower Award, the Stevenson, on the Dan Ryan, 15 apiece, in and out between 95th Street and the Burn Circle. I-57 and the Bishop Ford pretty much behaving themselves at this point. Lakeshore Drive, north and south, flowing freely. Our tollway system is in really great condition. Now, in northwest Indiana and the Indiana Toll Road, it's pretty slow either way between Portage Jackson and State Road 149, with traffic down to just one lane for repairs. Sunny skies today and a high near 60. Currently clear skies and 46 downtown Chicago. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
The battle for the Republican nomination is racing towards the convention this summer in Cleveland.
Nobody is going to have enough delegates. We are going to go to a convention. It's going to be open.
Can Trump be stopped?
The only campaign that has beaten Donald Trump and the only campaign that can beat Donald Trump is this campaign.
Will there be a third-party run?
Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud.
What happens next?
We should make it pretty easily based on what I'm seeing.
Happens here.
So we won't have to worry about fighting at a convention.
This is AM 560. The Answer.
You already turned to Staples for business supplies, but did you know its experienced print team can help your business with print and marketing services? From business cards to brochures to presentations, you'll have a dedicated print expert on your side who makes sure your projects are completed on time and on budget. Need help updating your logo? There's a team of designers just for that, and they'll make sure that the final product is always up to your brand standards. Put Staples print expertise to work for your business. Visit staplesadvantage.com/print or your local Staples store.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
How much do I love my pillow? Well, so much that I took it with me, traveled with it on our trip to Puerto Los Cabos, Mexico. And guess what? Everyone was jealous that they didn't have one. If you aren't one of my listeners who's already purchased a My Pillow and getting a better night's sleep, I need to get you on board. Hey, listen, Mother's Day, Father's Day are almost here, and the 2-for-1 offer is still available with the promo code Amy. I won't list all the benefits, you've heard me do it many times, but suffice it to say that the benefits are many, especially how much better you'll sleep and how great you'll feel in the morning. I know I do. That's why I'm not surprised My Pillow was voted the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation. It's the perfect gift for mom or dad or you, and it's always good to know you're getting the best deal with the 2-for-1 offer. So visit MyPillow.com or call 800-489-0201. Use the promo code Amy for the 2-for-1 offer. 800-489-0201 or online at MyPillow.com. Promo code Amy, 800-489-0201. Do it now.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
You can't handle the truth.
I love that. Now, can you handle the truth in your small business? You know, we're brought up with adages like honesty is the best policy and the truth will set you free. But is being truthful always the best thing when it comes to small business? Well, here to sort it out is Mindy McKenzie. She's an accomplished corporate executive, highly acclaimed speaker and CEO advisor. Before starting her practice, Mindy served as chief performance officer of Bean Incorporated. She's got a new book out. It's called The Courage Solution, The Power of Truth-Telling with Your Boss, Peers, and Team. Mindy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Barry.
All right. Well, first of all, at Beam, you were known as the Velvet Hammer. I love that image. Why was that?
I got that title, Barry, through a lot of trial and error and definitely plenty of mistakes. But I learned to tell the truth even to my bosses, and it got me into the executive suite. But let me pan back for a minute because I want to make a bit of a broad statement to you. I believe fundamentally that truth is the commodity in shortest supply in the business world today, no matter the size of the business, and it may be the most essential commodity of all. And people don't tell the truth, Barry, because they're afraid of the consequences. So that's why I wrote this book. I wanted to cure them of that fear.
So why is telling the truth so important? Because in my mind, I'm not sure there is an ultimate truth. I believe in the Zen adage that there is no truth outside ourselves. So where do we start in our quote-unquote truth-telling?
Well, I would assert that companies nor individuals cannot thrive if they don't have all the facts, if they don't have the truth. So that's why I'm such a huge advocate of it. I see over and over and over again that people avoid really saying what they think, what their perspective is, simply because they're afraid. And they'll have a better conversation in the hallway than they will in
right.
the boardroom, and that hurts businesses.
And so, Mindy, how do we get them over their fear? Is it part of when the small business owner sets the culture of the company?
Well, I definitely think it starts with the behavior of the business owner. Being willing and able to deliver tough messages, but in a way that can be heard, and that is the art. It's not about going around being blunt. It is about knowing how to deliver direct, truthful messages, your truth, because, you know, I get your point about there being no ultimate truth, and doing it in a way that can be heard and welcomed so people can act on it. And if the business owner is doing it, then other people will follow suit.
Yeah, because I think that if we can encourage each person in the organization to tell whatever their truth is, we can come up with a collective truth that we can all rally behind. So what does that look like when there is good truth-telling in an organization, and what does it look like when there isn't?
When it does occur, there's a lot more challenge and disagreements and great debates. So a really healthy company culture is one where people feel free to challenge and push back and tackle those sacred cows, whatever those are. The cultures that don't have that, there's a whole lot more politicking and managing messages and managing the bosses and people tiptoeing around. And there tends to be a much greater degree of disengagement in those cultures because it is not a good feeling going through your work day, Barry, and not saying what you really think.
So what kinds of things get said? I'm trying to figure out what this really looks like. Is there like people talking in hushed tones and there's a lot of secrets and things like that when people aren't truth-telling?
Yeah, it's basically standing around the proverbial water cooler and telling your colleagues what you really think about an idea or an initiative or a program or a plan. But when you get in the meeting about that, you don't actually say what you really think about that. You actually just go along, you're reading the room, you're trying to see which way the wind is blowing. And it's a really, really destructive process in businesses. Doctors cannot operate, Barry, without accurate lab reports. Imagine a world where the folks that were, you know, do blood reports and give lab results were afraid to give the doctors the truth. They couldn't function without the facts, and businesses are the exact same way.
We're talking with Mindy McKenzie. She's the author of a book called The Courage Solution, The Power of Truth-Telling for Your Boss, Peers, and Teams. Mindy, I do think it takes a lot of courage, and I guess my question is, if you're a business owner, it's easy to press people in your organization to tell the truth. But what if you see that this isn't going on in your organization and you're just one of the managers? How do you get that truth-telling going on? Do you sit in a meeting and say, well, Joe, that's not what you told me when we were sitting around the water cooler? Do you do that?
Well, I always think it's really much wiser to start with changing your own behavior than trying to call somebody else out on theirs. You have to decide that you want to contribute and make a bigger impact versus just surviving day to day. And that is a conscious choice. And if you decide that, you know what, I'm here, I really want to help this business, I'm a mid-level manager, but I care, then I'm going to care enough to be smart about how I choose to deliver my messages and my perspective on whatever issues the business is dealing with.
But how do you really keep quiet? Because I know I've sat in a lot of meetings as, you know, a consultant, as a board director, where someone's talking about something, and then in the meeting they say just the opposite. It's really hard for me not to say, well, no, that's really not what you think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to decide on timing and if the issue is a big enough one to wrestle with in front of everybody. To me, it's materiality. When I'm in a boardroom or in an executive meeting and we're debating big, heavy issues that have a material impact on the company, it is the time to diplomatically but directly share my view and push back as if I was the sole decision maker. I tell people all the time, no matter the size of the business, it's called king for a day thinking. If you were running this business with all the information you have at hand, what position would you take? And then that's what you share, and you share it from that context. And if you have a reputation of doing that, then people are going to listen to you.
It's funny because I've sat through a lot of meetings where the emperor really has no clothes,
mm-hmm.
where everyone is kind of tiptoeing around the owner and they're not really talking about what's really going on. So the organization is really frozen in time.
Right.
So you also talk about in the book that everyone needs a shtick, and shtick, of course, is a technical term. and so what do you mean by everyone needs a shtick?
I think you got to know yourself and know how you're impacting those around you at work and play up your best attributes. The easy way to talk about this is from a gender perspective. So let me talk about that really briefly. As a woman in business, there can be a tendency, if you're in a male-dominated environment, to kind of suppress your femininity and to try to be one of the boys. I think that's a huge mistake. I think you should own your femininity and put a dress on and be your beautiful self because you're never going to be a guy and really own it. On the flip side, for men, I think it is really important to know if you're not getting what you the respect and the credibility that you want in work every day, you need to ask yourself, not only how am I behaving, but how do I look? Do I present myself in a really impactful way that fits in, but that is also drives respect and credibility? And I think there's a lot of folks that never even think about that. And I do think it's important, the exterior and the interior.
Because you really have to be authentic through and through. And that's one of the good things, I think, about that people's business and personal lives are really merging more. It's hard to separate them out because it's hard for those people to be one person at work and one person at home, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah. You got to be integrated.
Yeah, I think that's really critical. You also talk about that if you do the truth telling, eventually this is going to be a good thing for the organization. But I could see this could be, it's really tough to get there sometimes because there could be some growing pains in this whole thing.
Yeah, it's all in how you do it, Barry. And you have to be willing to make mistakes. Here's what I'd say, though. One of the best tips that I can give people is if they think about pushing back, when they're going to push back and when they want to disagree, is to do so using what's called the LCS method, and it's really easy. It's called like, concern, suggest. So when you're sitting in that boardroom and you're having a debate, if you say, well, I really like this about your argument, Joe. My concern is XYZ, so my suggestion is this. And a lot of times you can disagree and disagree quite passionately, but do it more agreeably to everybody else experience a lot of success.
I think it's a great solution. Mindy, thanks for being on the show. If you want to read Mindy McKenzie, it's www.mindymckenzie.com. Mindy, thanks so much.
Thanks, Barry.
Coming up, how can you be a winner when you play office politics? This is AM 560, The Answer. Be right back.
The battle for the Republican nomination is racing towards the convention this summer in Cleveland.
Nobody is going to have enough delegates. We are going to go to a convention. It's going to be open.
Can Trump be stopped?
The only campaign that has beaten Donald Trump and the only campaign that can beat Donald Trump is this campaign.
Will there be a third party run?
Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud.
What happens next?
We should make it pretty easily based on what I'm seeing.
Happens here.
So we won't have to worry about fighting at a convention.
This is AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carmen Roberts. Scientists describe the 7.8 magnitude earthquake that rocked Ecuador last night as 20 times stronger than the one that hit Japan a day before. Ecuador also suffering aftershocks.
The biggest has been a 5.4, which is a good size quake in and of itself. And then I just got done working a 4.8. There was a precursor to this event, a 4.8 happening 11 minutes prior to the main shock.
USGS geophysicist Dale Grant, at least 77 dead in Ecuador. And what better way to celebrate the stars of your childhood than to watch TV Land's Icon Awards?
Hosted by George Lopez, we'll celebrate the stars that made television what it is today. One of the biggest awards of the night will be handed off to the man that created All in the Family.
Fox's Michelle Polino says that is, of course, Norman Lear. The show airs tonight. Fox News, we report. You decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBanges with a look at your roadways. In and out on the Edens, just 19 minutes between Lake Cook Road and the junction. The Kennedy holds at 20 into and out of the airport. Express lanes are closed until 10 a.m. Thankfully, the Eisenhower, Stevenson, Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford, they're all good to go. Lakeshore Drive looks great. However, on the westbound side of the Skyway, keep in mind that roadwork closes access to the Dan Ryan local lanes until 8 a.m. This report is brought to you by the Foundation for a Better Life. When Marlon Shirley was 5, he lost his foot. Today, as the world's fastest amputee, he runs the 100 meter in less time than it takes to listen to this. Overcoming. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com. Mostly sunny today, high of 60, currently 46 downtown. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMaltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
If medications haven't helped you treat your depression, why haven't you tried TMS therapy offered by Theramind? Now there is a way to successfully treat your depression without the need for meds and their harmful side effects. TMS therapy is covered by most insurance, including Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois and Medicare. Don't continue to suffer needlessly. Call Theramind. Don't wait. Call Theramind now. 847-562-5868. The single greatest advancement to date in treating depression is TMS. It's an FDA-cleared, non-drug, safe, and effective treatment. TMS has already changed the lives of over 50,000 patients. Why not you? Visit TMSMind.com. Depression can be beaten and without drugs. Call Theramind today, 847-562-5868, or get more info at TMSMind.com. That's Theramind at 847-562-5868 or online at tmsmind.com.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, politics, of course, is a hot topic this year with the presidential race taking center stage of so many of our conversations. But what about the politics that are at work right inside your own company? How do you navigate these? Well, here to show us a way is Dan Russ. He's the author of a book called Workplace Poker. Are you playing the game or just getting played? He's also the founder of Frontline Learning, international publisher of corporate training resources. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Barry. Thank you.
So in this age of transparency and all this truth-telling and all the kind of the kumbaya that kind of goes on in collaborative organizations, is there really still office politics, and do we still have to pay attention to them?
You know, that's a great question, because I think that many people, without realizing it, have been lulled into this sense that business is now a team-based meritocracy, and the good guys win, and if you work hard enough, keep your nose to the grindstone, if you just focus on getting your job done and getting your good performance reviews, life is going to be fair. You'll get your recognition and you'll get your promotions and reward. But most of us, after we've spent at least 5 or 10 years in the workplace, if we pause and step back and look at what actually happens, the reality is that the political game is still going on the way it always has, because it's really the human dynamics game. It's the game of being human and recognizing the tribe that you're in and the unspoken rules within that tribe, and then leveraging those rules for your own benefit. Because if you don't, someone else will.
Yeah, exactly, Dan. And I think this is a really important point, because I remember at IBM when I was there for 9 years, and that's one of the reasons I left. There was so much politics. The person that was friendly to this person that was, you know, that went drinking with him, they're the ones that got promoted. Now, I'm not saying that it wasn't a meritocracy where the really good people got ahead, but I think the problem is with politics, the really bad people can get ahead too, right?
Without a doubt. And particularly if the really good people are stepping back and saying, you know what, I find that political stuff distasteful. I don't want to do that. I don't want to, quote, play the game. And that's really one of the reasons I wrote the book, is that I found that many people who are really good at their jobs, they're really talented, they really are hardworking, but when it comes to, quote, unquote, office politics, they back away and they cringe almost. And yet, I have seen in my own career and in the careers of many others that the best way to play the game is to have the best of both worlds, to be a hard worker, decent, positive human being, and have a great understanding of the political dynamics and play the game as well as, in fact, better than some of the more obvious negative self-promoters.
So, Dan, how do you play the game, I guess, without saying, all I'm going to do is just suck up these people, I'm going to befriend them in a fake way, I'm going to go out drinking with them? How do you do that?
Well, so, you know, you say befriend them in a fake way. What really to play the game from a positive aspect, number one, you do have to play the game. You do have to accept that dealing with human beings is in many ways a human game. And if you have a positive attitude toward that game, first of all, you're much more likely to engage and do some of the other things that I recommend in the book, we had a recent survey that of about 1,500 business people that came back, and the results were interesting. People whose attitude toward human dynamics or politics in the workplace was very negative, almost cringeworthy, they tend to actually earn about 20 to 25% less than people who have a different attitude towards those human dynamics. People who felt more positive about playing the game, being engaged, again, people who were at the same level of their career, same level of experience, same level of capability, tended to make about 25% more in terms of income over the course of their career. So I think the attitude toward the political dynamic is the first thing to talk about, the first thing to think about. But, of course, I understand where that attitude comes from. If you suck at baseball, you're probably not going to like playing baseball. If you suck at any game, you're probably going to not like playing the game. So the purpose of the book is to help people actually get better in, again, a positive way, in an ethical way. But as you get better at the game, I think your attitude begins to shift to understand, okay, this is really just the nature of not only working, you know, every marriage under the surface is a game. Every relationship, every friendship under the surface, there's a game being played. And that's not to mean that it's negative. That's not to mean that it's bad. It's just, again, part of being human. And the better you are at it, the better your attitude toward that game is likely to be, I think.
So, Dan, the last 30 seconds we had, I just wanted to ask you, some people don't like to play this game because they don't like to be a self-promoter because they think they come off being, quite honestly, a blowhard. How do you do that without feeling bad or putting other people off?
Well, one of the great things I've seen in the book in terms of reactions from people who have read it is from women who have said, finally, someone is talking to me about self-promotion in a way that I feel comfortable, that doesn't make me cringe. So I'll just walk you through a couple of quick ways to promote yourself. And one of the real subtle things is in every meeting that you're in, on every conference call, virtually any time you're engaged in business in a group setting, find a way to at least ask a few questions or make your voice known on that call. Don't be one of those invisible.
Dan, I got to cut you off there because we're out of time. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks, Barry.
This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBanges with a look at your roadways. In or out on the Edens, just 19 minutes between Lake Hook Road and the Junction. The Kennedy, although there are barricades set up outbound from Belmont to Irving Park in the two left lanes, it's not causing any delays. Into and out of O'Hare, just 20 minutes. Express lanes are closed either way until 10 a.m. Eisenhower and Stevenson both wide open on the Dan Ryan. In and out, 15 apiece between 95th and the Burn. Bishop Ford, I-57 and Lakeshore Drive all rolling along at posted speeds. Our tollway system is behaving itself. Into and out of Northwest Indiana, no complaints unless you're on the Indiana Toll Road. East and west, it's down to one lane between the Portage exit and State Road 149. Sunny skies today, high near 60. Currently 48 in Chicago. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, National Small Business Week is coming up May 1st to May 7th. And here at Business Insanity Radio, we are celebrating with a series of segments with each week sponsored by Microsoft. We're talking to small business owners that are using technology to leverage their business. My guest is Sunny Chatrath, is the travel industry veteran with 24 years of experience in almost every aspect of travel. He's worked in airline consolidation, leisure, and corporate travel. He's also an actor and amateur chef and have worked in 13 films, 3 television shows, and over 10 television commercials. Sunny, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I thought I saw you in Star Wars.
Yeah, that's probably one of the extras in the background.
Exactly. So now you work at Up and Away American Express. Tell us about that agency.
Okay, so Up and Away American Express is not new to me. I started my career with Up and Away American Express in 1992 when I was going to college. And it is one of the premier airline consolidators as well as corporate travel agencies that has been around since 1984. And it enjoys several lucrative contracts with such major airlines like British Airways, American, Iberia, Lufthansa, Emirates, Qatar, and so on and so forth. The company has been around all this time, and the focus has recently changed so that we've started doing missionary and faith-based travel as well, in addition to the corporate and consolidated travel that we used to do.
So Sunny, what role does technology play in your business on a daily basis beyond just using the computer systems to book reservations?
It plays a very important role. For example, we use Microsoft products, like the whole suite, on a daily basis. We use Microsoft Word, we use Outlook, we use PowerPoint. All of these products are something we use every day.
And so why is that so important as you're trying to service your customers?
Because if we want to send information to a customer, it has to be in a format which is easily understandable to them, and it is not something that they would have to struggle with. And Microsoft luckily uses technology which is used by the majority of the people in the world, so we don't have to actually explain how to use them. I wouldn't have to tell a client how to open a Word document or a PowerPoint document. They would already know how to do that. It makes our work easier.
And this is important because you're just not dealing inside of America, right? You're dealing all over the world, so there's got to be a common interface, common document type, right?
Absolutely, yes.
And so what about using the Office 365 on various platforms?
Personally, I'm using it on my mobile device, my cell phone, as well as my iPad and my laptop. I have I log in into each device using my credentials, and I'm very glad to say that they've done a phenomenal job, because on the cell phone, when I'm in the bus or in the train or in the plane, it's seamless. And it's a boon. It's a blessing to have that.
So talk a little bit. So some people that have not had the opportunity to use it may not really understand that, say, when you log in with your credentials. What does that mean, Sunny?
Okay, so basically, in order to use Microsoft 365, you need to create a login and password either using live.com or hotmail.com. And that gives you access to the whole entire array of products that Microsoft 365 has. Be it the Word or PowerPoint or Outlook or any of the Microsoft products, you can access them seamlessly by logging on once, a single login with either a Hotmail account or a Live account.
And then so how do you look at a document that perhaps was on your desktop and now you're trying to look at it on your phone?
well, you could use either OneDrive or you could, that would be the best way to do that. I mean, you know, you could share it across devices. You could actually view it on your cell phone when you are on the go while it is on your desktop in the office. It doesn't I mean, you don't really have to access it on that particular computer. You could pretty much access it on any computer or device that you have as long as it is shared to the cloud.
And does it look the same, and are all the features of Word available?
Absolutely, yes.
And so how often would you say that you're looking at a Microsoft Word document or Excel on your mobile device versus on your desktop?
Daily. Because I have a long commute. I commute 2 hours each way, and, you know, it gives me enough time to catch up on work when I'm in a bus, or I'm in the train. It gives me enough time to go over my work. I usually work while I'm traveling also. So, yes, I mean, it's, for me, it's a blessing to happen.
Hopefully when you're not driving, you're not looking.
Oh, no.
So what about using Skype for Business?
I mean, you'll be surprised to know, right before you called, I was actually chatting with our web developer in India. He's in Bangalore, India, and I have him on Skype. So right before you called, I was just asking him if we're still on for the 12 noon meet that we had. You know, we have to discuss several things about the website.
And so how do you actually use Skype, just the call internationally?
Well, I do call because I put money on Skype. So basically, whenever I need to make an international call, I simply dial using Skype, and the quality is crystal clear. The quality is excellent. Or if you just want to send somebody a quick instant message, you could actually use Skype to type in the message if they already exist in your contacts list. You know, so you could just send them a very quick message within Skype.
And so, Sam, last question I have for you. When you use Skype, have you used the real-time translator yet if you're talking to people that don't speak English?
Unfortunately, I haven't spoken with anybody who doesn't speak English because English is the universal language. So even if I was speaking with somebody in a remote Indonesian village, even though they don't speak fluent English, they can actually get the point across. So I didn't have to, but I'm going to look at that next. Absolutely.
Well, Sonny, thanks for being on the show. Where can people reach you?
They could reach me in the office at 212-889-2345, and our website is www.upandaway.com. My Facebook page is facebook.com/chatrat.sunny.
And I want to thank Microsoft and Office 365 for sponsoring this segment. The National Small Business Week is May 1st to May 7th. This is AM 560. The Answer will be right back.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
The biggest trap business owners face is that they are continually flip-flopping their time between working for customers and selling to find new business. As a result, when you are doing the work, the sales activity slows to a crawl. This double helix trap keeps businesses struggling for years. 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 Learn the 7 strategies for breaking this trap. Contact Barry at barry@barrymoltz.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-467-1443. That's 1-800-467-1443. 1-800-467-1443. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors not available in all states.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, one of the biggest issues that face small businesses as they grow is how to pay the salespeople in their company. And there's always complaints, no matter how you do it. The salespeople say, well, we get paid too little, or that really wasn't fair. Others in the organization will say that the salespeople are totally overpaid for doing absolutely nothing. So what is right? Here with a fresh approach is Justin Rothmarsh. He is the founder and president of Ballistics and author of a new book. It's called The Machine, A Radical Approach to the Design of the Sales Function. Justin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Barry.
So where and when do commissions make sense? And if I'm a small business owner, how should I structure them?
So my view is that if your salespeople are entirely autonomous, then it makes sense to pay them on commission. But if you want to build a sales team where salespeople are one component of a bigger machine, then paying commissions is impossible because it tears the machine apart.
So what should we do instead?
Well, what I advocate is that you do the latter. Is that salespeople have a very limited set of responsibilities. Specifically, all they do is sell, 4 meetings a day, 5 days a week, or 30 conversations a day if they're on the phone, and everything else is moved someplace else in the organization. Now, in that kind of environment, of course, that takes a lot more effort to build, but if you build that, then you don't want to pay your salespeople commission because it sets them at odds with the rest of their team members.
So, Justin, do you pay them a combination or do you pay them a base plus bonus? How does it work and what should the percentages be?
So our clients pay their salespeople a salary. So they negotiate with them a fixed salary. Generally, it's a pretty good salary because salespeople are expensive. So I think what we see most of our followers doing is paying their salespeople, you know, the average of their last 3 years' earnings plus a bit, and fixing it and then reviewing it regularly, just like every other team member.
And so some people will say, well, then the salespeople have no incentive to go out and sell more. What do you say to that?
Well, I would say to them, well, why are they different from anyone else in the organization?
Right, exactly.
If I employed a receptionist and she sat at the front desk, and she refused to answer phones unless she was paid an additional spiff on top of her salary, then you probably got a good idea what I'd be doing with that employee.
So where do you think this got broken somewhere along the line? Because I think you're right. Why shouldn't they get a salary like everybody else and you know, get rewarded for the work they do every single day? Where'd this get broken?
Well, I think traditionally what's happened, particularly in the U.S., is businesses evolved with salespeople operating with a very high degree of autonomy. Most salespeople traditionally have been very much like manufacturers' reps, in that they're almost independent business people taking on a large amount of risk themselves. And in that context, it does make sense, I think, to pay them on a piece rate or on a commission basis. But I think the days where you can, you know, justify maintaining that kind of arrangement with salespeople are numbered.
Well, Justin, I think it's really good advice, something for a small business owner to consider. People can reach you at www.salesprocessingengineering.net. The title of the book is called The Machine, A Radical Approach to the Design of the Sales Function. Justin, thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And thanks for all of you for listening to this week's radio show. I want to thank our sponsors, Staples and Nextiva. I also want to thank our staff, especially our booking producer, Sarah Schaffrin, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. If you're serious about being more successful this year, 2016 is really the year you should move forward. Give me a call. My private line is 773-837-8250, or you can email me at barry@maltz.com. Isn't this the year that you get your business unstuck? Isn't this the year that you actually make the money that you deserve? Isn't this the year that you actually build a business, not just a job? Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymaltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Congratulations to all who